Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Mundo Fox gets into the Spanish language TV scene this August. Objective? Offer what frontrunners Univision and Telemundo don't. The network hired its original content development chief 2 weeks ago, and that person, Javier Sermon, joins me next. The annoying orange either splits your sides with laughs or makes you want to throw a shoe at the screen. Now this YouTube phenomenon is Cartoon Network's new primetime superstar. And at the top of the hour, you'll hear an exclusive live interview with the Big O himself, creator, executive producer, and lead voice, Dane Bodenheimer. And can the Tony Awards on TV be saved? I'll comment. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Great to have you with us. Happy Free Father's Day weekend Friday to all of you. 81 degrees, top of the hour here in New York. Welcome to the show that covers the world of television like no one else does anywhere around. And we invite you to be part of the conversation. All you have to do is give us a call with a question or comment to either of our guests this upcoming hour at 1-646-652-2906. That's 1-646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us live nationwide or globewide here on BTR. We've got our chat room open as well. Simon Apple 04 by name. We already welcome guest 3327, our good friend from Philly, Rick Webb, in the room. So either way, phone call, chat room, we want to hear from you because what you say matters. Before we get to our first guest, we have a wonderful announcement to make. We have a brand new addition to our podcast affiliate family here on Tomorrow Be Televised, and that is the popular mobile app Stitcher Radio. It's a wonderful way to get news information programs on your smartphone, I believe your tablet as well, from broadcast networks, cable networks, information sources all around the globe, including internet radio broadcast and podcast. We met up with the people at Stitcher last week at Blog World Expo here in New York. I want to thank Rachel Eden, the Director of Content Partnerships, for having the interest with us, and we're on the air already on Stitcher. So if you have Stitcher Radio on your mobile phone or maybe on your tablet, check it out, check us out, and all the other wonderful things Stitcher does. We're delighted to be part of their family. If you want more details about what they do, you go on the web to www.stitcher.com. That's www.stitcher.com. Hope you do. It's a wonderful service, and we're delighted to be part of it. Speaking of wonderful services, Mundo Fox hopes to be a wonderful service in the Spanish language when it debuts in mid-August. And joining us live from Los Angeles, the just-named original content development chief at Mundo Fox, Javier Sermon. Javier, welcome to the program.
Hello, Simon. I'm glad to be here today with your audience.
A pleasure, Javier. You've been on the job for a couple of weeks. How's it been knowing that you've got to get this network up and running in August?
How is it going? It's good. It's a lot of work. The good thing is that we already have lined up several shows from the two partners that are together in this joint venture, RCN, the number one network in Colombia, broadcast network, and Fox International Channels. So it's been good. We have great shows launching itself of the network in August 13th, and we have a huge development of shows down the line.
This is a very different environment from when Fox launched back in the mid-1980s. At that time, Javier, there were three broadcast networks, there was syndication, there were independent stations, cable was just getting off the ground with networks like ESPN and so on and so forth. And then Fox got on and changed the face of broadcast television as we know it. You're getting in with Mundo Fox at a time when there are so many Spanish language and Latino television choices out there, from Univision to Telemundo to Telepatura and Galavision, all the Discovery Cable networks and so on and so forth. How do you want Mundo Fox to be different from what is already in the marketplace and available to Latinos across the country?
Well, as we know, the Fox brand is very distinctive. It has shown on Fox, the network, Fox Broadcasting, FBC, on FX, on Fox Sports, and Fox News, that every time Fox launches a new network, either broadcast or cable, it really, like you said, shakes up the market. Fox is known for innovation, and it's true that there are a lot of options in the market, in the Spanish language market, both in broadcast or free TV and cable. But the truth is that the reason we are launching is because the audience has a strong appetite for a certain kind of product that hasn't been available yet for them.
And in fact, some of those options are options that Fox International Channel already has available here in the U.S. market and around the world, such as Fox Deportive, Fox Sports, there's Altissima, the Women's Oriented Network, Lifestyle Programming, there's also Nat Geo Mundo, the Spanish language version of National Geographic Channel. But it seems that Mundo Fox, and we had Hernan Lopez, the head of Fox International Channel, on our show a couple months back, that you want to do what Univision and Telemundo are not doing. Emphasis on weekly series, emphasis on maybe originally produced comedies, dramas, once a week as opposed to the telenovela format, documentary programming, and also a lot more programming produced in the U.S. than either of those networks I mentioned are doing.
Correct. One of the formats that RCN has mastered is the teleseries. The teleseries has already proven to be successful here in the U.S. because before Mundo Fox, that format has been licensed to other networks such as Telemundo, Telefutura. The teleseries is a mix of telenovelas and weekly fiction series. That's where the name comes from, teleseries. It's daily or 5 days a week, weekdays, such like the telenovelas, but they're more dynamic. The story structure is more dynamic, the characters are better developed. They're not only female-oriented, but also male-oriented. They're shot on location, even if it's more expensive than shooting on a soundstage. And so that's one of the kind of product that we're going to be offering to our audience. An example is El Capo 2, which is the second season of the hugely successful El Capo first season that aired on Telefutura. At the same time, yes, we are bringing, like you said, product that has proven to be hugely successful in Latin America, produced by Fox International Channels, and as well as we're going to be developing and producing fiction series here in the U.S.
And speaking of fiction shows, scripted series, how are you doing so far trying to get Latino producers here in the United States to work with you and work with your network in developing those shows?
Well, it's a great question. Since the announcement of Mundo Fox, we've been inundated by Latino producers, writers, pitching us, trying to pitch us their ideas, their projects. It's true that the market is not as developed as the English language market, which obviously has a huge tradition of, since the beginning of television. But we are able to combine the expertise that we already acquired in Latin America, because we've been producing shows for a fraction of the cost of an American show, but applying the same principles of storytelling, the way the shows are structured. So there's obviously a lot that we can do here with applying that format.
Javier Thurman is the original content development chief at Mundo Fox, the new Spanish language network from Fox that will be on broadcast stations across the country starting in mid-August. And Javier is joining us live from Los Angeles on this half hour of Tomorrow We Televise. This is the Internet radio show that covers the world of television. We're normally with you Mondays and Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. Today we're starting a half hour later than normal because of the scheduling of our guest today. If you have a question or comment for Javier, give us a ring at 1-646-652-2906. That's 1-646-652-2906. Or check into our chat room, SimonApple04, by name. Either way, we want to hear from you because what you say matters. And it seems that one of the other things you want to develop on the network is primetime game shows. In fact, earlier today, just in case people missed the news, you are going to take the NBC game show Minute to Win It, which was on last season. Guy Fieri was the host, Food Network personality. And you are going to do a Spanish language version of it, I believe produced in the U.S., with one of the original producers of the show and a very good host. Tell us about why you decided to take Minute to Win It and turn it into what will be called Minuto para Ganar, Minute to Win.
Yes. Well, Simon, the strategy behind that is, first, being a broadcast network, we want to have a variety of programming. We think that game shows are a great alternative for family-oriented programming. Like you said, Minute to Win It has been produced and aired here on NBC here in the U.S. It's also a format that has been exported to many, many countries around the world, and it has been really successful. And we think this is the right property to launch or to be one, actually the first production we're going to be doing specifically for the U.S. Latino market with Mundo Fox. We have Marco Antonio Regil, the host. He has a huge experience hosting this kind of shows. And it's produced by Shine America, and it's the first Spanish language production they're doing in the U.S. We're very excited. It's going to run Monday through Fridays. We're doing initially 60 episodes, and people are already expressing a lot of interest.
So it'll be 5 days a week or five nights a week, half hour, hour.
It's 1 hour, hour.
And I know the host quite well, because I have seen him do his thing first on Televisa's version of Family Feud, then the U.S.-produced version that was on Telefutura for about a year or two. Regil is an excellent host. He speaks excellent English. He speaks Spanish. He is dynamite. I'm amazed that no television producer has decided to use him in an English-language game show, because he can do it. There's no question. He's got great appeal. He works very well with contestants, knows the game inside and out. He's terrific with the audience. So you got a winner in this guy.
Yes, absolutely. And probably down the line, we're going to be doing more shows like this one. And we're very happy that we are partnering with Shine in this venture.
And incidentally, as I mentioned, one of the original co-producers of Minute to Win It on NBC will also be involved in the making of the show as an executive producer. So it's a kind of nice thread between the NBC version and your version.
Exactly. Simon. Yeah, and also the fact that, if I'm not wrong, he's the one also who invented a lot of the games for the show. So he knows the show inside and out, and there are many possibilities that we can do. I mean, there are many. I think there's like 300 games. I mean, I'm not saying we're going to use all of them, but I'm saying that we have a lot of room to play with.
Right, Minute to Win It is a beat-the-clock-like stunt show where the contestants do stunts in a minute or less that they do. They win money. The money grows. There's like 10 stunts they have to do in order to win the grand prize. They can quit at any time, but the fun of it is to see how these folks do and how far they go.
Exactly. And one of their slogans is how to do, let's say, or let's play with off the shelves elements, but to do off the wall challenges, because the elements, the items they use, like they might be simple or they might look simple, like little balls, golf balls, forks, glasses, cups, but they're tricky, so that's the fun. And also, as I said, it's a family show. The whole family participates. We're gonna have couples, daughters and mothers, or daughters and fathers, parents, cousins, all the combination. It's gonna be fun.
One of the interesting things, Javier, about your network is that there's a lot of resources inside Fox that you can play with. You have Fox Deportes, you have Altissima, you have Nacho Mundo you can get programming from and put it on the channel or develop for the channel. You've got other Fox divisions, including 20th Century Fox Television. You've got their syndication unit. You've got independent producers that work for Fox for shows like Glee or for FX. And there are other networks, Speed Channel, et cetera, et cetera. And you have Fox News Channel as well. How much of the programming will be drawn from these various Fox divisions? And you mentioned Shine America, which is also a unit of Fox. And how much do you want to draw from outside players, whether it is the Warner Brothers, whether it is a Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, a Lionsgate, an Endemol, a Fremantle Media, or from a new Latino producer? How do you balance things out?
Well, you know, what the two partners bring to the table, RCN and Fox International Channels, is a vast array of original programming already. One of the things we're doing in terms of you know, partnering or sharing resources with other Fox entities is we're going to be airing two shows that air on, you know, that are property of Fox in English, which is Bones and American Dad. They're going to be dubbed into Spanish, and that's another demonstration that we are trying to try new things, different things, because we know there is an appetite for that too. Now, in terms of other, let's say, third-party producers, if it's the right project, why not? I mean, you know, we're already in conversations with a Fox entity, Fox Television Studios, to develop a fiction show. So I know that's a Fox division, but if it's the right project and if it makes sense, definitely something that we can seriously consider.
We recently had the producers of a new animated series on Azteca America, the first U.S.-produced animated series. Marlene Braga, who is the new head of virtual programming at Azteca, was with us a couple weeks ago to talk about that. That's done quite well. Are you looking at original animation?
That's not something that we are planning right now, but it's something that we can definitely consider. Again, there's nothing that we're ruling out right now. It would have to be relevant to our audience. It would have to make sense from a business standpoint of view. And, and we have to be, we have to be excited about it. But, could be. It's possible. Why not?
Javier Sherman from Mundo Fox is with us this half hour, live from Los Angeles on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York. Mundo Fox premieres in August. If you have a question or comment, call us at 1-646-652-2906. That's 1-646-652-2906. Or check into our chat room, Simon Apple 204, it's guest 3327 and 3474 have done. We want to hear from you. Coming up before the top of the hour, I'll comment about the Tony Awards on CBS. When it was on last Sunday, it got the lowest viewership in the history of a major award show. What can be done about getting Broadway theater the TV viewership it deserves? I'll have a comment about that. And at the top of the hour, we'll go back live to Los Angeles, and joining us will be the annoying Orange himself, the creator, executive producer, and the lead voice of that new Cartoon Network series and YouTube phenomenon, Dane Bogenheimer. He will join us right here on Tomorrow We Televise. So you stay tuned. We've got some good stuff coming your way this afternoon before Father's Day weekend. Javier, one thing you will be doing on your network off the bat is news. And, of course, Univision and Telemundo have very highly regarded news programming. How will your newscast differ from what they're doing?
Well, one of the main things, points of, something that will differentiate us from them is that our national newscast is going to be live in each time zone. So if it's 6 p.m. in L.A., you're going to watch it live, and if it's 6 p.m. in Miami, you will watch it live. So it's something that the other networks are not offering right now, and something that it's very appealing to the advertisers, and it's also very appealing to the audience in today's world, where everything changes minute by minute, and there are a lot of resources to get that information too, from other mediums. So that's the main I would say the main differentiation.
Does that mean that each time zone will have a segment, let's say, for news from that zone, for example, the people in Chicago and Dallas and so forth in the central time zone. There'll be more, let's say, news affecting Latinos in that region at that hour. And then for the West Coast, L.A., San Francisco, Washington, Oregon, you know, et cetera. So in other words, some sort of special news section that'll be pertaining more to the people in that region.
I'm not sure about that yet. That's something that Jorge Metey, who's our senior VP of news, would be more, knowledgeable to respond about. But definitely, and also there should be a balance because, you know, there are going to be obviously local newscasts too, so in many of the markets. So, but definitely each edition, which is going to be live, as I said, is going to be airing the latest news.
Given your role, Javier, how do you feel about the fact you have so many resources you can play with to mold this channel? Like you said, you're starting off with really writing your own rules, if you will. How does that play into the programming decisions you make? And what is it like to have, you know, this opportunity, which very few people get to shape or help shape a new network?
Well, the fact that we are Fox, like you said, you know, that we have we're part of this huge family, doesn't mean that, you know, we have access to all kinds of programming, even existing programming, because, you know, as you know, the existing programming has different conditions in terms of availability, territories, windows, et cetera, et cetera. We're not trying to repurpose the programming that has already been produced by other venues. Our grid has been created not from I have everything to play with, but from detailed studying the market, the availabilities we have, what the results of focus groups have told us, et cetera, et cetera.
So you've got a couple months to go before you get this on the air. What's the move with everybody at Mundo Fox? What's their feelings about being part of something that you rarely get the chance to be part of, as I said earlier, getting a new network, whether it's English or Spanish, whatever the language is, off the ground?
Well, we're all very, very excited, as you can imagine. It's a lot of work, but we're really, we're really enjoying it. We realize that this is, if you will, a historical moment in Spanish-speaking television in the U.S., and we're really looking forward to it. And there's a lot of, encouragement from colleagues, from the audience, from advertisers, and we think this is going to be a great injection to the market. I think competition is great for everyone, even for our competitors. I think the market is going to grow, the pie is going to expand, and we couldn't be happier.
Mundo Fox premieres a month and a half from now in August on broadcast stations across the country. And you can find out more about the network and what station in your area will be the Mundo Fox affiliate by going to this website, www.mundofox.com. That's www.mundofox.com. There's also a Facebook page also available. Javier Sermon, the original content development chief at Facebook, joining us live from Los Angeles. Thanks again for being with us. Happy Father's Day to you and your Mundo Fox crew. And we're looking forward to covering your network not only in August, but hopefully for a long time to come.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Simon. And it was a pleasure for me and honor to be in your show.
Thank you. Muchas gracias, Javier. All the best. Take care.
Gracias. You too. Bye-bye.
Javier Sermon, joining us live from Los Angeles here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And now, a comment. 6 million people. That's how many people saw the Tony Awards on CBS last Sunday night. A low watermark for that ceremony, one of the major four among entertainment awards, the others being the Academy Awards, the Oscars, the Emmys, and the Grammys. 6 million people. It almost didn't make the top 20 in the ratings, but that's the deal. And it's no surprise. It was about 15% lower than the year before, and every year, with some exceptions, the Tony Awards have gone lower and lower and lower in viewership. Why? It's not the fault of the Broadway theater community. It's not the fault of CBS. It's not the fault of the producers or individual Broadway shows. It's because of a fact, and the fact is this. Outside New York, people do not give a darn about Broadway theater. Why? Very simple. Because unlike movies, unlike television shows, books, music, other major forms of entertainment, Broadway theater is not instantly accessible to everyone. When a Broadway show premieres, it only premieres in New York. It doesn't premiere in Chicago and Los Angeles across the country. So therefore, unless you're a real Broadway fan, a real at-bat person on the medium, and the Tony nominations come out, you don't care. There's no rooting interest. There used to be, because of the Broadway soundtrack successes in the 1950s and 60s, early 70s, and also many Broadway hit shows became movies, hit movies, a year or so later. That's not happening anymore. No more hit soundtracks, no more hit CDs, no more hit Broadway shows become major movies, with some rare exceptions, in films around the country. That's the deal. So the ways that Broadway could have stayed alive in the public's mind, they aren't there anymore. And even Smash is not working so far on NBC after a year. I think there is something that can be done, actually a few things that can be done to get Broadway back in the public eye on a national basis, the way Rosie O'Donnell did a decade or so ago. Here's how. And some of these steps are steps that the Broadway theater community might not like taking, but it's time to take it. First up, every Broadway show should run live or videotape the opening night, should be presented on YouTube, Hulu, Facebook, Twitter, Amazon, Netflix, and video on demand systems on cable and over the country. Opening night should run, either live or on tape delay, but it should run. And for those who think, no, it won't, because we can't afford it, we're going to lose the national crowd. No, you may get more people catching your Broadway show live, but if you let people know it's out there, and a lot of people don't. Number two, CBS should make every effort to run the Tony Awards in May during big sweeps period, so people know it's a big award show, not in the dead of June where people don't know a lot about it. Number three, the Zoom network that's happening, the former HD, the current HD net from Mark Cuban, is now going into live entertainment programming as AXN. And Broadway theater could be a big part of that if the community starts talking to Mark Cuban and his people now. And finally, when Smash comes on next winter in January, there should be a major campaign nationally in terms of TV spots, Facebook, use of social media to get people interested in Broadway theater. Tell people, hey, when you're in New York next time, see a Broadway show. Do an I Love New York campaign. It's time for the Broadway theater community, the League of Broadway Producers, the folks by the Tonys, to not just lay on their heads and say, oh, woe is us, the ratings keep going down, down, down. It's time to take action. It's time to make Broadway a national medium the way it, thanks to soundtracks and motion pictures, used to be. There is still time, but very little time, to save Broadway theater as far as a national TV attraction, at least every year on CBS. And the time to start acting is now. This is Tomorrow We Televise. We are the internet radio show that covers the world, the tube. We're normally with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Coming up Monday on the program, the former head of entertainment at ABC, former key programmer at NBC. At that time, the youngest ever to be in that role. Jamie Tarsus joins us. She's now the executive producer of the new hit sitcom on TBS Men at Work, and Franklin Bash now in season 2 on TNT. She's my lead guest exclusively at the top of the program. And then we'll talk to the creator executive producer of the new sitcom on Bounce TV, the first original program for that network. It premieres Monday night, and it's called Family Time. Family Kyle Evans will join me. Then a week from today, at our regular time period, we've got a 90-minute show for you with something for everybody, comedy, drama, and reality competition. On the comedy side, we'll look at The Soul Man, the new comedy on TV Land that premieres next Wednesday night. Joining us, producer Beef Sutton. And then Real Channels has a new series. It's called 13. It stars Aisha Tyler. It's a spy drama, and with some interesting twists, executive producer Jay Firestone will be along. And finally, TNT's got a new reality competition series premiering a week from Sunday. It's called The Great Escape. No relation, well, maybe a little relation to that famous movie, The 60s. And executive producers Justin Hochberg and Charlie Ebersole will be with us. That's all a week from today. 3 o'clock Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. When we come back, YouTube phenomenon, now Cartoon Network superstar, the person behind the annoying orange, Dane Bodenheimer, joins us live from L.A. after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. Nearly 9 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for World Footprint, a very important subject they're discussing tonight, human trafficking. One of the guests, somebody who was in the thick of that scene and lived to tell about it. World Footprint, human trafficking, the subject tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back, or welcome at the top of the hour. This is Marvin Televised. Happy to have you aboard this Friday afternoon, the Friday before Father's Day weekend. Simon Applebaum live from New York here on Blog Talk Radio, 80 degrees at the top of the hour here in the New York metro area. And we invite you to be part of the program for the next half hour. Got a great guest for you ahead. And all you have to do, give us a call at 1-646-652-2906. That's 1-646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the world here on GTR. And we've got our chat room live and open for you, Simon Apple 04 by name. We welcome guests 3327-3474, our good friend Rick Reff from Philly, other people joining us in the room. So either way, phone or chat room, we want to hear from you. Over the last few years, YouTube and other online video homes have turned out to be nice test labs for television series, from Sanctuary on Sci-Fi to Children's Hospital on Adult Swim to Adventure Time with Finn and Jake on Cartoon Network. The latest to make the transition, The Annoying Orange, this last Monday night on Cartoon Network. It was a YouTube phenomenon every week. It was a phenomenon you either love or you hate if you saw it. But now, the group of fruits doing their thing in a fun way is now on Monday nights at 8:30 on Cartoon Network. Joining us live from Los Angeles, Internet Radio exclusive, the creator, executive producer, and the lead voice of The Annoying Orange, Dane Bodenheimer. Dane, welcome in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome, Dane. Well, it's been a couple days since your show from our Cartoon Network. What's been the reaction?
The reaction so far has been pretty incredible. I mean, there's been a lot of talk on all the social media and stuff like that. And then, you know, personally, it's just been absolutely crazy. It's been a whirlwind. I kind of feel like I'm just spinning constantly. So it's pretty awesome.
Well, you had a phenomenon going. You still do on YouTube. And I see the Facebook site. You got a lot of people commenting on it every day. What made you decide it's time for prime time on Cartoon?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, you know, I've been doing YouTube for many, many years, and I had always loved it because you have so much more control with YouTube. You don't have to go through a ton of people. You can just make whatever you want, and I've always loved that ability to be super creative without having to go through all the channels that you have to with regular TV. And It was one of those things that when I joined up with my management team, The Collective, that they started talking about this and saying, hey, you know what, we should explore the idea of doing a TV show. And at first I was a little hesitant, but the way that we structured it is what made me really want to do it, because basically what we do is we create the show and license it to Cartoon Network, and although they, you know, they have a lot of input on what, you know, makes it to the screen and the final, you know, the final cut. I mean, it's the process has been very much like YouTube almost, where we just kind of do what we want, make what we want, and it's been a really fun process. I know before this, I had spent some time working as PAs on shows. I worked on Pit My Ride and things like that, and it was always very frustrating. So This is a breath of fresh air, being able to, you know, work on a TV show but have, you know, a lot of the same kinds of control that you do on the web still.
How much of your vision for the Cartoon Network show comes across on the screen? I mean, how much of how you exactly want to take, you know, this YouTube set of shorts and translate them? How much of that got on, 100%, 90%?
I would say definitely 100%. I mean, it wasn't all my idea. Our head writer, Tom Shepard, came on and developed this basic idea of the gang traveling together on this. They live on this fruit cart that's able to travel through time and space, go anywhere, do anything. They have like a main home base at this this grocery store called Danebo's, and you know, that was very much his idea, and you know, we created all these awesome stories from that. And but I would say, you know, it very much has the same, you know, sensibility, the same fun that you see on the web series, only now we're able to, you know, really develop the characters and have grand stories and grand adventures. So it's you know, we're having a lot of fun doing stuff like that. But yeah, a lot of how I would, you know, wanted it to come out is definitely how it came out. I would say 100% easily.
The Annoying Orange is on Monday nights at 8:30. It's actually part of a double play half hour. Each segment 15 minutes. Annoying Orange kicks off the hour at 8:30. Then 8:45, The Matt Show is on. If you haven't seen Matt Show, it's one of the funniest shows on television, animated or sitcom or comedy, any kind of show in the left read. And James Bodenheimer, he is the lead voice, the executive producer, and the creator of The Annoying Orange, both YouTube and cartoon version, is with us live from Los Angeles on Tomorrow We Televise. Happy to have him and you along for the ride here on Fox Talk Radio. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York on this pre-Father's Day weekend Friday. If you have a question or comment for Dane, give us a call. The number you use is 1-646-652-2906. That's 1-646-652-2906. Again, to our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Either way, we want to hear from you. Dane, with this format and the fact you have 15 minutes, which is, you know, you don't have the half hour that you can pan a lot of things, so you really got to get to the point with your humor. How did you find moving from, let's say, a few minutes every week or so on YouTube to put together to a 15-minute show? Or actually really 10 minutes with commercials.
Yeah, I actually think that's the most optimal way that we could have done things. Like, you know, if you watch the YouTube program, you'll see that each episode is three, topping out at 4 minutes long. And with that, like I was saying before, you don't really have a lot of time to develop characters. It's just, you know, it's just a lot of quick back and forth banter. And with a TV show, you know, only having 10 minutes, we get to expand on the, you know, we get to have more than just quick banter. We actually get to, you know, go out and have adventures, but still keep it condensed enough that we get to tell a whole story and have kind of that quickness that the web show has, that quick banter. So it's a really good fusion. I think if we did do a full 22-minute episode, I think it would totally work, but I actually kind of prefer doing this, you know, these shorter episodes. I think it very much works for the characters and, you know, what it is. So.
And also for the first time, you're working with other writers, you're working with other directors. Did you, like, school them into, here is the Annoying Orange way of doing things, particularly with the animation style? For those who have not seen the show or seen the YouTube short, the animation style is sort of retro, reminds you of early 1960s Clutch Cargo. Remember that program? It's the one where the face is like staying on the screen and the lips move. And so the same way with the, you know, with the all your characters. Lips move, everything else doesn't.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. It's exactly like Clutch Cargo. Although you'll see in the TV show there's a lot more action, a lot more movement. We didn't really restrict ourselves as far as characters moving. I think that was one of the big things we, you know, everyone that comes on to write or is involved in, they always say, well, they're fruit. How can they move around? How can they grab things? Well, I think it's actually funnier, you know, if we just make up ways for them to move around. I mean, as long as it's within the rules of the universe, they can roll, they can bounce, they can hold a bow and arrow. It just, like, sits next to them, and they use it. It's almost like they have invisible arms. And I actually think that's a lot funnier. Because at the same time, you're asking yourself, like, how are they holding on to that? But, you know, it works as long as you set those rules in that universe from the get-go. But as far as the writers go, some of the guys that are writing are the main guy that has helped me write all of the web episodes, Spencer Grove. He's been with me from the beginning. He wrote a couple episodes, so it was really easy for him to make the transition. And then also we had another guy, Luke Barath, who helped us write web episodes. He was an easy transition. And pretty much everyone that else that has come along and helped write, they pick it up really quickly and caught the sensibility and able to just run with it. So,
So talk about a collective. You really have a collective working all the way on this.
Yeah. I mean, we we're doing all kinds of crazy stuff. We're doing the TV show. We're working on all kinds of merchandise, toys, T-shirts, yeah, anything you can think of. We're in the works of making it. So yeah, the collective is really coming through, and you know, taking a chance on this brand, which is great. It's a great story, you know.
I saw one of the first episodes, and in the episode, there was an episode that was sneak previewed a couple weeks earlier before last Monday night's premiere, and it was an episode that had a lot of satire on Star Trek, had a satire on the whole idea of space operas. You had the villain that likes to give away the secret of the villain in a way that helps the heroes. And I'm curious if that's one of the ideas you wanted to do with this show, is you want to satirize things that you've fallen in love with over the years.
Absolutely. I mean, if you watch the web show, too, we do that all the time. We're taking things that we love, pop culture, whatever it is, people, movies, music videos, songs, whatever, and, you know, satirize it. And I've always loved doing that. And so to be able to do that on we definitely want to do that on the TV show as well. And you'll see a ton of it. We're spoofing all kinds of different things. And, there's a racing one that's kind of a spoof of Fast and the Furious and all kinds of stuff. So.
How did you come up with the Annoying Orange in the first place?
The Annoying Orange itself, well, I'd done a bunch of other talking food videos previous to Annoying Orange. Like I said, I've been doing YouTube for many years, and that was kind of one of my signature things. I like to make talking food videos, kind of very much in the same style as Annoying Orange. You introduce some characters, they don't know what's going on, then hands come in and, you know, cook them up, and they all react to that and scream, and they all get killed. Kind of the life of food. What would food do in that situation? So, but Annoying Orange, I came up with the idea one night while laying in bed and before I was going to sleep, and I started laughing at myself, and I figured, you know, well, if I'm making myself laugh, then there must be something to that idea. So within a week, I had made that video, and it just kind of blew up from there.
And at what point in making these videos, you say, I've got the rhythm down of these characters. I know that the orange is always going to, like, every two lines deliver a pun into a laugh, and hee-hee, and so on. Or I'm going to turn to the pear, I'm going to turn to the apple or the grape and, you know, have them... say a punchline.
That formula of having the orange there, introducing a new character, that character gets annoyed and then eventually gets killed. That formula was developed right from the first episode. I mean, you'll see it. There's always at least some iteration of that formula in each episode. And you know, there kind of is to a degree on the TV show too, to some degree, but on a much grander scale. But with the web series, you'll see all the characters that are in the main group. There's, you know, there's Midget Apple, Marshmallow, Pear, Grandpa Lemon, Grapefruit, and Passion Fruit, and Orange. And all of those characters are in the TV show too, but it was funny, when we were doing the web episode, these characters just kind of, we included them, not intending them for them to be part of the main group that became the final big group that made the TV show. But it was one of those things where we would have them in an episode, and then people would react to that character and say, oh, that's a great character, but we want to see more of that one. So then we would feature them more, and then pretty soon Marshmallow was making an appearance in almost every episode, and they each have their own quirks and qualities, and it's fun to play with those. And they, you know, each one of them definitely has a very unique voice that we like to play with, and you know, you see that in almost every episode.
Dane Boenheimer is the creator, executive producer, and the lead voice of The Annoying Orange. It's a hit on YouTube. It's now a hit on Cartoon Network, Monday nights at 8:30 Eastern Pacific Time. He's our guest live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Happy to have you with us. I'm Applebaum in New York. And if you have a question or comment for Dane, call us at 1-646-652-2906. That's 1-646-652-2906. Don't forget anywhere you're catching us here on BTR. Chat room open too. Sign app with your phone by name. So don't be shy. Use the phone. Use the room. Either way, that's why it's there. What do you think, Dane, about YouTube as well as the rest of the internet as a testing ground for shows like this? We now have a track record of shows like Sanctuary on Sci-Fi, your show, Adventure Time with Finn and Jake started as a web short, Web Therapy, Lisa Kudrow on Showtime stars a web series. What do people in the web field think about the idea of graduating their ideas into TV series?
I think it just depends on the person, because there's very much a lot of people that do web video because they love doing it, and they have no desire to jump to TV. Like I was saying at the beginning, there's, you know, definitely a lot of autonomy. I guess, you know, you're a lot more free to be able to do whatever you want on the web. There's no one standing in your way. So a lot of people really embrace that, and they don't want to move off. But there are a lot of people that also do. And, you know, for those people, it's great. YouTube is definitely a testing ground, for sure. I know for me, I never even intended Annoying Orange to be a full-on web series or a full-on TV show. That was never even in my mind. I was just making another fun, you know, one-off video. And it just happened that people gravitated towards that character and wanted to see more. And from there, it grew and grew and grew and built and built and built. And it's beyond my wildest expectations. But it's one of those things that happened, and I'm extremely gracious for it, of course.
And on the flip side, Dane, you now have, because of these connected or smart TV sets, you have this ability to watch the web on television, even zoom in now, either pan, scan, side to side, whatever. And that may be why things like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and websites like you and YouTube are now becoming favorites on television. They may be, they may end up being television anyway. And of course, with the YouTube original channels, which so far have done better than expected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. You look at SourceFed. I think the number one YouTube original channel, and it has been since its formation. And they just put out really great content. And I think definitely you're seeing internet and TV combining. When you look at things like HBO Go, a phenomenal program. I wish I could actually use it because I have Time Warner and they won't allow it, but I've seen it in action, and it's absolutely amazing. I mean, being able to watch a program and interact with it like you can with that program, it's really cool. I think you're going to see even more of that kind of stuff coming up in the future.
Is that something you're hoping for down the road, you and your collective partners, to do maybe Annoying Orange or maybe a full-blown YouTube original animation channel?
As far as the Annoying Orange goes, I mean, we're already definitely there. I mean, I'm still, just because we're on TV, that does not mean I want to abandon what we're doing with that channel. I mean, we still upload an episode every Friday. And as far as that, yeah, of course, I think you know, definitely we want to talk about doing some other spin-offs and original programming like the Super Channels that are happening on YouTube. I think that's definitely where the space is moving. Obviously, that's really where YouTube wants it to go, and you know, that's the whole culture kind of, you can feel it kind of moving in that direction. So yeah, definitely want to be a part of that.
When watching that Star Trek satire episode, it also looked like that one of the things you're doing with the Annoying Orange on Cartoon Network is also bringing some different animation styles to the mix. You might do some computer animation or cell animation. And it's interesting you're paired up with the Mad Show, which makes that a hallmark. You never know what kind of animation style or substance you're going to see. So what do you like about the idea of being paired with Mad Show? And has it inspired Annoying Orange to maybe try some different kinds of animation looks?
Well, I think, you know, I think it's great that we're paired with Mad. I think, you know, it's a great program. As far as the different animation styles, I mean, I've been doing that with Annoying Orange from the beginning. I love the idea of, you know, having 3D animation, cartoon style, cell drawings, you know, all kinds of different things. As long, like, you know, kind of like I was saying earlier, as long as you make it a rule in that universe that it's okay to do those things, you know, people won't even think twice about it. when they see it. And I absolutely, I love that. You know, I don't want there to be any kind of restrictions when we're making these episodes. We want them to make, be as wide open and as fun as possible.
How do people respond to your character? Do you like it if people get angry with your character? Like, I mentioned in the opening that some people see the Annoying Orange as, like, a side-splitting character, like you laugh your head off, and some people may see the Annoying Orange as, oh, my God, I wish I could just, like, throw the shoe. You know, I can't stand this. As a creator of this, how did it hit you in terms of audience reaction one way or the other?
Well, I think, you know, yeah, I think there definitely is two different camps. Either you love it or you hate it. I think, you know, I know that Annoying Orange is not for everyone. I totally understand that. I, you know, there are times when Annoying Orange annoys me. And I think, you know, one of the things that frustrates me is when there are critics, reporters, things of that nature that write really, what shall I say, you know, basically really getting upset about Annoying Orange and saying it's the worst thing in the world and all of the, you know, things of that nature. And I think at its core, they don't understand it. You know, it's a kid's show, which is why most kids understand it. You know, it's meant to be fun and silly, and you know, I've always done it for the longest time with the intention that, hey, you know what, everybody has, you know, stresses in their life, and they should be able to just take a couple minutes from their day, watch something silly, and just laugh at it. And I think that's very much where Annoying Orange comes from. You know, it's that idea of, hey, I just want to laugh for a couple minutes, take a break. And it always frustrates me when I see reporters write things that are just really nasty, and it's, you know, and not really understanding what it is and what it's all about, and not giving it a chance. But other than that, I mean, there are those few exceptions, but overall, I mean, the response has been incredible. And the fans are awesome. They're amazing. They you know, say really great things, and it's always fun to go on the social media sites and like Twitter and whatnot and see what people are saying, you know, how much fun they're having watching it. That makes my day.
Cable has become a medium where if things go great off the bat, you get renewed pretty quick for a second season. Has I know it's only a week, but has Cartoon already talked to you about Let's Go Season 2?
No, there hasn't been any talks yet, but you know, of course, that's always the hope.
What's your inspiration for some of the plots on Annoying Orange? What's like your favorite pop culture stuff that you like translating on this show?
Oh, let's see. I think a lot of it comes from, you know, watching some of my favorite cartoons, you know, when I was growing up. Because I make this comparison a lot, but Orange is kind of like a Bugs Bunny or a Woody Woodpecker or things of that nature, in that he's super annoying, but he's lovable at the same time. And that's, you know, at least that's how I want him to be. And that's, you know, those characters from old cartoons, there are so many that are like that. You know, Bugs Bunny, Woody Woodpecker, Daffy Duck, Elmer Fudd. They all have annoying qualities, but they're lovable and fun at the same time. So I think that's where a lot of that comes from.
Here's an idea for a little bit for either the Cartoon Network show or the YouTube short. How about a little satire or take on the old Bugs Bunny theme song, This Is It? You know, we have the cast of the Annoying Orange going on the stage, singing and dancing their heads off or their fruit off.
Yeah, but you know what? That's really funny that we're doing a Christmas special where there's going to be a big sing and dance number. So it's not exactly like that, but there's going to be a lot of fun things of that nature.
You know, a lot of people still remember This Is It. It may be the most best-remembered children's theme song, which actually was an adult show. Bugs Bunny, when it was originally on, here's a little tidbit, on ABC in the early 60s, it was on 8:30 on a Friday night by Warner Brothers, and the theme song, This Is It, by Mac Dave and Jerry Livingston, originally written for a primetime series, and it became the longest-running theme of its kind for that show. And people still remember This Is It, and Where Were You When You Saw That Sequence and that whole you know, Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck sing that song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Annoying Orange. You may love it, you may hate it, but it's wonderful. He's according to this person. And you can catch it Monday night, 8:30 Eastern Pacific Time on Cartoon Network. It's paired up with The Mad Show, both 15-minute programs, and both, I might add, worth your while. Check your local listings where Cartoon Network is running on your cable or satellite system. And for more details about the show, go to CartoonNetwork.com. And, of course, you can always catch YouTube with The Annoying Orange every week, brand new episode. When is it uploaded for people to see it, Dane?
The TV show or the web show?
Web show.
The web show, it is uploaded every Friday morning at around 9 in the morning, sometimes 10 in the morning. It just depends on how finicky YouTube is being.
So whether you're a kid or a kid at heart, check it out. I think, at least on my end, you'll love it. Dane Bogenheimer, the creator, executive producer, and lead voice of The Annoying Orange, both on YouTube and Cartoon Network. Thanks for joining us live in Los Angeles. Happy Father's Day weekend to you, and thanks for tuning in. Congratulations on getting the show off the ground on Cartoon. Got a feeling it's going to be running for a very long time.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
A pleasure. Anytime. All the best. Take care.
All right. You too.
Dane Bogenheimer of The Annoying Orange joining us live and exclusive on Tomorrow We Televise from Los Angeles. Monday, we're back at our regular time period, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. Joining us, the former early Wonderkind at ABC and NBC, Jamie Tarsus. She's now executive producer of the hit TBS sitcom Men at Work and Franklin Bash on TNT. And then we'll talk to Bentley Kyle Evans. His new sitcom, Family Time, premieres that night on Bounce TV. Then next Friday, 90-minute show for you, lots of stuff for everyone. Steve Sutton, the producer of The Soul Man, coming to TV Land next week. Also, Jay Firestone, the executive producer of Lost Girl on Sci-Fi, and the new Reels Channel's drama, 13, co-starring Aisha Tyler. And then Justin Hochberg and Charlie Ebersol, executive producers of TNT's new reality competition, The Great Escape. Remember, you can catch us live, 24-7, I should say, on our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/SimonApple04. www.blogtalkradio.com/SimonApple04. Check us out on podcast 24/7 as well. We're on iTunes.com, Zoom.net, and now on your mobile phone and tablet through Stitcher Radio. For more details about that, www.stitcher.com. Again, thank you to Rachel Lee, Director of Content Partnerships, and everyone at Stitcher Radio for having us aboard with Tomorrow Will Be Televised. So if you have that service, check it out, as well as all the other great programming on Stitcher Radio. One other thing, here in New York, we say goodbye tonight at 11 o'clock to Sue Simmons, for many years with the co-local news anchor at 6 and 11 o'clock on WNBC-TV here in New York. All the best, Sue, in what you do down the road. You had a great time with Chuck Scarborough, and all of us in New York are going to miss you. So all the best to what you're doing in the future. If you'd like to comment on this program, email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you're emailing from. You have an idea for our show to know segment. All you have to do is put down the name of the show, network it's on, some thoughts about it. If we use a suggestion, we will give you the credit. simonapple04@yahoo.com. We love hearing from you because what you say matters. The views presented on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is John Sweet. Podcast distribution provided by Sonobite. Words to your ears. More at www.sonobite.com. Podcast director and theme music composer, Philip Salisbury. But Tomorrow Will Be Televised. I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Whether you're a father or not, have a wonderful Father's Day weekend. Happy Father's Day, Dad. We'll catch you Monday at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.